Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or a special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mentioned. Quick question, are you on my newsletter list? Every week I send out a newsletter to my readers with EdTech favorites, free events, giveaways, and more. If you get on the list, you'll automatically get one of my free EdTech guides as a special bonus. Go to classtechtips.com/signup to make sure you don't miss a thing. This week's episode is titled, How to Increase Participation During Synchronous Instruction. This is part one of a two-part series. Next week, I'll be back on the podcast with one all about increasing participation during asynchronous instruction. So kind of a two-parter, two different focus areas, but both have to do with the idea of increasing participation, whether your students are learning kind of online or at a distance, or they're participating in online learning activities while you are all together in the classroom or in a combination of that model. So we're going to focus today on strategies that go along with this big idea of how to increase participation during synchronous instruction. So let's start off first with that term, synchronous instruction. You've probably heard folks in your own conversations talk about things happening synchronously or asynchronously. So synchronously is when we are working together at the same time. Sometimes that means that we're all showing up online for a video call and we are participating in the same activity side by side with a video call. And so when we talk today about synchronous instruction and participation strategies for those types of moments, we're thinking about the times that students are all logging in at the same time. Now this might be as part of a remote or distance learning initiative where everyone on the calendar knows that at Friday at 9 a.m., they have to jump into a Google Meet link or Google Meet video call, or they're jumping into Zoom. So it could be something like that where you've got a set time on the calendar and everyone is at home logging in, or maybe something where you have some students physically in a classroom, some at home, and everyone is video conferencing or connecting online together at the same time. So when we talk today about participation strategies, these are ones that you will think about specifically as a time sensitive, everyone is logging in and showing up at the same time. And these are some things that you can do to boost engagement, right, or increase participation during those live moments. So let's get into some of the pros and cons around synchronous instruction, because if you're in a situation where you are looking at different types of models or you have a combination of delivery, you're going to see how when we look at participation strategies today, we're going to really lean in or embrace some of the pros, but we also want to acknowledge some of the cons or the hard things about having a synchronous model of instruction. So some of the pros or benefits or value adds, if you will, of synchronous instruction is that you have everyone show up at the same time, which means it's a great opportunity for community building, getting to know each other. And you can also look at synchronous instruction through the lens of a big group. So all 30 of us are on a call together, and a small group. So maybe that synchronous instruction is actually a small group of students, a guided reading group, a math intervention, a lab group, or you might have a big group all show up at the same time and then break out into smaller groups or subgroups to have a conversation around something. Now, when we talk about the pros of a synchronous instructional model, the example I often like to give as a reminder of what makes this special comes back to the feelings we've probably all had before when we've sat in a meeting and then we walk out of that meeting and we either think to ourselves or turn to the person at the door as we walk out with us and say to them, couldn't that have just been an email, right? So if we've all had that feeling before of saying, if we're going to be here live together, like what makes this any different than an email? And so this is the same sort of mindset or reminder that you want to come into your planning around synchronous instruction. And part of the reason why we're going to focus on some strategies that really increase participation and use this valuable live time together. Now, some of the cons on our pros and cons list of when you are organizing synchronous instruction is to consider connectivity, scheduling, and equity concerns. Now, these are all things that make synchronous instruction challenging, and you really want to acknowledge that these may be barriers for participation. So if you are looking to have a lot of synchronous participation as part of your instructional model, you'll want to tackle some of these challenges that go alongside synchronous instruction. So connectivity, meaning can students connect wherever they are and have you set them up for success so that they are able to connect at whatever location they'll be tuning into? Have you thought about scheduling and maybe having a schedule that changes week by week so that students that may have a family set schedule can then jump on at different times over the course of a week or over the course of the month? And then of course, the equity concerns related to device access in addition to connectivity. Do students have a school-issued device? Does that device work? Does it have the support needed to make sure that it works? And is it something that they do have access to? Because we know that some families might share devices. So those are all barriers to consider when you are thinking about synchronous instruction. I want to start off acknowledging those barriers, thinking about some of the value add here as well. And now we're going to jump into 6 strategies to explore to help increase participation during synchronous instruction. So the first strategy when you're having a live call or your group together is to start with a share. This is a great way to get everyone participating that is not related to an academic question. So it's not like they're going to be concerned about whether or not they have the right answer. There is no right answer. And so a share can happen in lots of different ways, but I want to share a share that I saw in action just a few weeks ago while working with a group in California. Now, I've been offering a lot of virtual professional development to groups this past year, of course. And so one of the groups I was working with in the month of, gosh, I guess it was the middle of October, I was beaming into their call, joining their synchronous call, and they were doing some work before my conversation with the group was going to start. So I kind of entered in, kind of watching and behind the scenes and wasn't participating, you know, or leading that call, I should say. And what their facilitator did was a waterfall chat. Now, if you haven't seen a waterfall chat before, this is where you have a question. Everyone types in their response into the chat, but they don't hit send until the speaker or facilitator tells them to. Now, what this does is it makes the chat kind of have this waterfall effect because you have, you know, 10, 30, 100, depending on how many people are on your call, right? Hit send at the same time. So everyone's contributions or responses pop up at the same time. So this is a great way to start with a share where kids might not see each other's responses at first. So maybe you're asking them a kind of a silly question just to get them sharing, like, what's your favorite type of cookie or what's your favorite ice cream flavor or what snack do you like to start off your day with, right? And then you can have everyone type it in and then press send at the same time. Now, this kind of share is something, just like many things, that requires some instructions and some examples, especially with students trying this out for the first time. But a waterfall chat is a great strategy to try out if you are committed to starting with a share for your first few minutes of synchronous instruction. Strategy two on the list is to use breakout rooms with intention. Now, breakout rooms are great, and I'm hoping to have a guest on the podcast next month to talk about some breakout room strategies, so stay tuned for that one. And breakout rooms essentially are your way to send students out into small groups, even if you started out in one big video conference. So Google Meet has rolled out this functionality. You've seen it in Zoom probably in the past. Over the course of this year. Now, having a breakout room is great, but this strategy is breakout rooms with intention. And so here, you really want to focus in on setting up kids for success before they go out. And this might include having a Google Slides presentation that is in view-only mode. Now, how this works is you might set up a view-only presentation where you give kids the link so they can each see the slides without making any edits. And before you send them out to the breakout room, you put the prompt in that shared document. That way they'll all have it right in front of them, even if you're not sharing your screen, and they'll have that intention reminder that goes along with their session or their breakout room time. So having breakout rooms with intentions can just be as simple as having a shared Google Slides presentation where everyone can view the prompts that you've added or any task that you've given the group. So strategy one is to start with a share. The second strategy is breakout rooms with intention. Number three on the list is to have a collaborative activity. So having everyone on the call or even small groups with on the call participate in something collaboratively. Now this is something you can do with lots of different tools, but I want to give a shout out to Jamboard, which has become a very popular tool during remote learning. Now, a collaborative activity might be a word sort. It might be a graphic organizer that kids are filling in responses to. This could be something very academically focused where you have kids all put in a trait of a character from a book that you have read aloud on that call, or you're discussing a passage from on that call together. So a collaborative activity is something that has a level of accountability. Everyone is working together. They can see each other's responses and they have this kind of common goal in mind. So Jamboard's great for doing this kind of quickly with or without a login. So even if you're not in a Googly environment, you with a Google account could set up a Jamboard and invite students in. Number four on our list of strategies to explore to increase participation during synchronous instruction is Kahoot, or I should say is a low stakes competition with Kahoot as the example here. So a low stakes competition is something that is not going to be a heavy winner or really kind of stressful or very overwhelming in terms of the questions that you're asking. A low stakes competition should feel more fun than stressful. It should be something that kids are excited about, not anxious about. And so a low stakes competition could be something as quick as 4 or 5 questions in a space like Kahoot, where you share the pin with students on the call, you go through those quick questions, and then together you kind of break down responses. You have that low stakes, okay, cool, we've got a couple winners, on to the next thing, right? So it's something that can build some community, can gamify a review or an introduction to different types of activities. And Kahoot makes that pretty quick to get started with. Kahoot also has a lot of pre-made activities you can try out too. So number three of our strategies is a collaborative activity. You might try that with Jamboard. Number four is a low stakes competition, and you might try that with Kahoot. Let's get to 5 and 6 on the list to finish up our strategies for how to increase participation, boost engagement during synchronous instruction, where students are all together on a video call, whether they are face-to-face in a classroom, connecting with kids who are learning at home, or everyone is learning at a distance. So number 5 is a chat space. Now, some tools have this built in, right? So you might use the chat space within Zoom. You might use the chat space within Google Google Meet. But if you're looking to make the most of a chat space, you might find that a secondary tool is useful as well. So having a chat space available, either built into the tool or with a secondary tool, is something that you can use really strategically. You might call out and say, okay, everyone, put in a response to this question, or use the letter A, B, and C to tell me how you feel about this response, or on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about X, Y, and Z? So you can have those kind of whole group shout outs, but if you don't have a chat space built into the tool you're using, you might want to try out something like Backchannel Chat. Backchannelchat.com has a freebie version that lets you set up a chat space as well. So making the most of a chat space is another strategy to explore. This is something that you might really pull into your regular routine of shouting out or posting a question and then having kids jump into the chat to share their response, especially if it's a quick multiple choice like a poll, or it is something that is a scale that they are rating something on. Number 6 on our list of strategies to explore is to differentiate your digital turn and talk. Now, turn and talk is a strategy that's very popular in classrooms. It gives students a chance to think through an idea, process information, and share with a classmate. Typically, if we're face-to-face, they might physically turn to the student next to them and take turns talking about the response to a question you've posed, but you might decide to differentiate a digital turn and talk by having a common posting space where everyone can post a response the same way they might turn to the person next to them and share that response. So a posting space that allows you to really differentiate student responses that I love is Padlet. Now, Padlet has the text option where you can type in the text. It also has the option for voice recording, so you can use the microphone on your device to record your voice. So that allows you to differentiate your digital turn and talk a bit as well. So let's recap our 6 strategies to increase participation during synchronous instruction, and then of course finish up with our making it easy tips. So the strategies on our list today are to start with a share, like a waterfall chat. Use breakout rooms with intention, so that could be with a Google Slides posting for a prompt. Incorporate a collaborative activity. You might have students use Jamboard to do this. Use a low stakes competition to get kids answering questions, and Kahoot is a tool that you might want to try out. Make a chat space engaging by asking questions, and if you don't have a chat space, you might try out Backchannel Chat. And differentiate your digital turn and talk. This might include having a posting space where you let kids post a response like they would in a turn and talk in a few different ways. Remember, you can find everything from today's episode by going to the show notes. classtechtips.com/podcast is where all the show notes are. But let's finish up by making this EdTech easy. First, review your why for synchronous instruction. Next, choose a strategy for your next video call. Then, ask students for feedback on the activity. And finally, try a new strategy on the list. Don't forget to make sure you have a spot on my newsletter list. Every week I send out a newsletter to my readers with EdTech favorites, free events, giveaways, and so much more. And believe me, there is a lot in store for 2021. Although when I say 2021, it kind of sounds like space years or sometimes far off into the future. If you're listening to this episode when it goes live in November, you know that it's right around the corner. So if you get on that list, you'll automatically grab one of my free EdTech guides as a special bonus. Just go to classtechtips.com/signup or use the link right on my homepage to make sure you don't miss a thing as we get ready for the next year. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. tell a friend about the podcast, or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow at Class Tech Tips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations remotely with webinars and virtual professional learning. So if your group is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.